was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." We had struggled to find anyone in Israel who was loathed more than Zacchaeus. His crime, if I can put it that way, was to work for the Romans. The Romans ruthlessly oppressed the Jewish people, and Zacchaeus helped them. He was a traitor. More specifically, he was a chief tax collector. So he wasn't merely one of the run-of-the-mill tax collectors who sat in booths and received the taxes from the people. He was something like an area manager. The other tax collectors reported to him, and they paid up a portion of their takings to him. So he was powerful and he was wealthy. And this wasn't honest employment. His wealth was gained deceitfully. So he was a thief who cheated his own people. And he was despised for it. This man had no honor. He was selfish and greedy. You'd struggle to find anyone who was hated more than he was. And that's why he can't get to see Jesus. He's short, so he can't see over the crowds who have assembled to see Jesus. But that's only a problem because the crowds won't let him through. Normally, a crowd of people would show their respect for the rich and powerful by parting and letting them through. They would make way for them. The fact that they don't do that probably reveals the contempt with which they view Zacchaeus. They're not going to let him through. He's not welcome. And they're certainly not going to show him any respect. But Zacchaeus wants to see Jesus, and he's not going to be put off by the crowds that stand in his way. So he runs ahead of Jesus and scrambles up a tree. It's not a particularly honourable way for a grown man to conduct himself, let alone a rich and powerful man. Those who saw him would have laughed at him. Climbing this tree meant enduring shame and humiliation. But he wants to see Jesus, so he does it, accepting the shame and the humiliation that comes. Now, we're not told why Zacchaeus is so keen to see Jesus, but this is clearly more than mere curiosity. And when Jesus finally reaches the spot, he does something remarkable. He stops and he speaks to the one whom the crowds have snubbed and despised. He tells Zacchaeus to come down immediately. And notice he doesn't ask Zacchaeus whether he could stay at his house. He tells him that he must do so out of necessity. Zacchaeus might have thought that he was on a quest to find Jesus, but it turns out that Jesus was on a divine quest to find him. It was God's plan all along that salvation would come to the house of Zacchaeus on this day in the person of Jesus. And this encounter provides us with a wonderful picture of what Jesus' ministry is all about, one that would be preserved for all time in our Bibles. Jesus is offering friendship and love and acceptance to a despised and loathsome sinner, a thief and a traitor. The crowds are stunned and start muttering about it. "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner," they say. But that's what Jesus does. Now, again and again in the Gospels, we find him expressing love for those whom society looks down on and despises. People like Zacchaeus. Now, his love is a radical love. It's not like ours. It's not reserved for those who are deserving of it, but given freely to those who aren't. This Sunday we're celebrating Mothering Sunday. We're recognising the extraordinary love of mothers for their children, and it is extraordinary. A mother's love knows no bounds. Sometimes people say, rather unkindly, something like, only a mother could love someone like him. It's not a very nice thing to say, but it's also not true. No matter how others might think of them, there is no one who is beyond the bounds of the radical love of Jesus. And when people encounter this love, the love of Jesus, lives are transformed. And in the next verse, we see the difference that knowing Jesus makes. So that's our next heading, the difference Jesus makes. Please look down again at verse 8. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." We cannot experience the radical, undeserved love of Jesus and not be changed by it. When we experience his love, our old loves fade. His love frees us to love him back. And that's what has happened to Zacchaeus. Previously, it was the love of money that had captivated his heart. It was what he had lived for. But not anymore. Now his heart has been captivated by the love of Jesus, and everything has changed. And now he takes the wealth he had so cherished and brings it into the Lord's service. Now, unlike the rich ruler we met a couple of weeks ago, he willingly gives it all away. Now, he gives half of what he owns to the needy. Here and now, he says, I give half of my possessions to the poor. And he promises to use the other half to make amends for the wrongs he has committed. If I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. That was way beyond what anyone might reasonably expect. His heart has been totally transformed. When someone experiences the love of Jesus, they cannot help but be changed by it. Their old loves fade and are replaced by a new love for him. They begin to see the world differently. Whatever they cherished before, popularity, home comforts, time, status, power, especially our money, they gladly bring it all into his service. And as they do that, his love turns them outward from themselves towards others. When someone experiences the love of Jesus, they start to love others as they've been loved by him. Their natural self-centeredness starts to be replaced with a new generosity of spirit. They start using their time and resources for the benefits of those around them. And his love moves them to make right whatever wrong they might have done, if it's within their power to do so. Now, they begin to respond differently when they do wrong. humanity. Our natural response is to cover up the wrongs we do, or to excuse them, or even to deny them. We want to sweep them under the carpet and pretend they never happened. But when someone experiences the love of Jesus, their heart is changed. They have a newfound confidence to acknowledge the wrongs they've done before God and ask his forgiveness, knowing that it will be freely given. And to the extent that it's within their power, like Zacchaeus, they have a new desire to make amends for the wrong they've done to others, knowing the damage that's caused when those wrongs are ignored. That's the difference Jesus makes. He brings sinners back into relationship with God and with others. He restores our relationship vertically with our Heavenly Father and horizontally with one another. And it's a sign that someone has been truly saved. This encounter is another of the pictures that Luke loves to show us of the way in which Jesus transforms people's lives. And it's the reason that Jesus came. He came to seek and save the lost, which is our final heading. Seeking and saving the lost. Please look down again at the final couple of verses, verses 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Sinners like Zacchaeus are not outside the scope of salvation. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. And that's all of us, even the very worst of us. Now, to be lost is to live without God. It's to be lost in our sin and our rebellion against him. By nature, we are all lost. And God didn't wait to see whether we could somehow find him, because we never would. In his love, he came to seek us. And he did it in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, that wasn't a last-minute change of plan. It wasn't a last-minute change to God's agenda. It was what God had planned all along. He'd spoken of it many centuries earlier. So, for example, these are the words of the prophet Ezekiel, hundreds of years before Jesus. "For this is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays." Well, in Jesus, that promise was fulfilled. It's yet another way in which he fulfills the Old Testament scriptures. He is the good shepherd who comes to search for his sheep. In Jesus, God himself comes to seek and save sinners. And the cost of securing their salvation would be his own death on the cross, the very place that he's heading as he travels on the road to Jerusalem. Well, this encounter with Zacchaeus is a wonderful picture of the ministry of Jesus. He came to seek and to save the lost and to lead them back to God. And when he returns to the Father, he passed on his mission to the church. Now he sends us out into the world with this same radical love for the lost. And this is where the challenge of these verses really begins to strike home. This story of Zacchaeus challenges our natural tendency to be judgmental of others who do wrong. And it challenges our tendency to keep ourselves at a safe distance from those we consider undesirable. If we're to be like Jesus, we won't just love those around us who are easy to love. We'll love those who aren't easy to love. We'll love the difficult neighbour, the abrasive colleague at work, and the foul-mouthed teenager we might meet in the street. We'll have compassion for those who seem furthest away from God because we were once far away from God, and because we know that no one is beyond the scope of his salvation. And that's challenging because it will almost certainly take us out of our comfort zones. It will mean getting to know people who we have little in common with, whose way of life doesn't particularly appeal to us. It will mean putting ourselves in situations that we might find awkward. But if we love people with the radical love of Jesus, we won't just sit back and wait for lost sinners to come to church to find Jesus, because they won't. We'll go out into the world and seek out the lost as we get to know them and share with them the good news of the cross. And as we do that, we can pray that God will use us as instruments in his hands to transform their lives. Well, there are some remarkable examples of ways in which God has done exactly that. You may have heard of the American evangelist David Wilkerson, who went to Brooklyn in 1958 to talk about Jesus with the members of street gangs. His book, The Cross and the Switchblade, tells how he met Nicky Cruz, a hardened member of the Mau Mau's gang. And after a few, or well, more than a few, frightening moments, he had the joy of seeing him come to faith. Nicky Cruz himself went on to become an evangelist. Or you may have heard of the British missionary, Jackie Pullinger. She trained initially as a musician at the Royal College of Music, but then went out to Hong Kong in the 1960s and began working with drug addicts and prostitutes, telling them about Jesus. And she's written a book, written about it in her book, Chasing the Dragon, and her work continues today. Well, those are amazing examples. You and I may not be a David Wilkerson or a Jackie Pullinger, but nonetheless, the world is full of people like Zacchaeus. It's full of people whom others have written off and condemned, whom we might also be tempted to write off and condemn. But Jesus hasn't written them off. He hasn't given up on them. And just maybe there's someone we know that he's sending us to. Jesus is the friend of sinners who became one of us to seek and to save the lost. And not merely the respectable lost. He came to save the vilest, the most despicable, the most odious lost, and to bring them back to God. Who might Jesus be sending us to as a church? And who might he be sending you to? Let's pray. Loving Father, thank you that you didn't abandon us when we were lost in our sin and far from you. Thank you that you came to us in your Son, Jesus Christ, to seek us out and to save us. Please help us to love others with the radical love of Jesus, to seek and save the lost with the good news of the gospel. And as we do, please would you work through us to transform lives. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.